I'd like to take a moment to tell you about Entertainment Earth. They carry tens of thousands of licensed products covering everything from Power Rangers to Pokemon, Ultraman to Iron Man, and for RangerCast listeners, you can get 10% off your order and free shipping on any order, $79 and up. Just go to ee.toys/ranger. That's ee.toys/ranger. Or click the link in our show notes. RangerCast may receive a commission from your purchase. This is RangerCast, episode 37, Power Rangers Back in Action, recorded on July 18, 2025. In this episode, the legend of the White Dragon might not be a myth. Another batch of Power Rangers artifacts hit the auction block, and the next Kamen Rider series makes the rider jump to international streaming. Everybody, welcome to RangerCast. I'm Tyler, and I have Josh with me.
Greetings, everyone, from Oklahoma City, aka the site of the world champions. I hope everybody's having a wonderful time.
Okay, and we didn't scare off Greg. He's back.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
Great. So we have a lot of news to get through. But the big story we're going to get to later is we actually know roughly when the next Power Rangers series is going to be filming and where. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. First off, there are some figures out in the wild. People have seen toy displays. People have bought the Morpher, which still looks, you know, kind of Happy Meal-ish, but people been kind of messing around with it and discovering the sounds, like the hidden Green Ranger and White Ranger sounds, and there are like four sounds per ranger. Have you guys have taken a look at the photos and videos that are out there?
I haven't. I've seen just the photos of the Morphers and stuff, like out in the wild, and what was revealed before, but I haven't actually heard any of the sounds. I expected there was going to be extra that we wouldn't know about till now.
Yeah. The Dragon Dagger sound from the Morpher that I saw looked like sounds straight from the show, but the other ones are like sound-alikes and generic effects.
Yeah.
I've seen them, but I haven't heard them. Does it sound like coming out of a single speaker out the back, or do they sound pretty good?
I'm not sure about that part. They sound okay. Aside from, you know, the fact that they aren't totally using sounds from the show, the way the Bandai products did,
and like Toei and all that as well.
Also, we have some casting notes for the Ninja Kids web series collaboration. Ninja Kids TV put out a casting call for the new Power Rangers Reignition web series that Playmates had tipped earlier this year to coincide with the new toy line. This show, according to casting notes obtained by the Twitter user Zach is Batman, the show will film in Utah. Let me start the sentence over again because I haven't got the need to blow up this photo. According to the Twitter user Captain Zach, who's at Zach is Batman, two T's, this show will be produced in Utah. With a funny note, if you know about Utah's demographics, they are going to cast, they're open to casting certain actors out of state. They're calling for a Black Ranger around 16. They're all pretty much all teens, with the exception of Zato, who's supposed to be like 8 to 11. But they're looking for a Black Ranger who's Hispanic, must be excellent martial arts, heroic energy, confident, skilled, athletic. Saying they're likely casting outside of Utah. The Green Ranger is any ethnicity. They all require martial arts, obviously. Confident, cool, under pressure, maybe a bit rebellious. These sort of read like echoes of certain characters from Dino Fury, for the most part. And Mighty Morphin, with a little bit of Mighty Morphin.
So you're telling me that they're requesting teenagers with attitude? Shocked Pikachu face.
You know, they're basically asking for a Billy. They're looking for adults to play Zed and Goldar. They're looking for a teen to play Skull. They're looking for a kid to play Zato. And there are some sides that are in this posting, and you know, read into the what you will. There's mention of the abandoned warehouse district and the throne room and Angel Grove at night. We will have a link to that posting in our show notes. Also, Greg Aronowitz, we've mentioned in the past few episodes that he has been posting a bunch of stuff celebrating, well, the year SPD is supposed to take place. He had an appearance at Robo Toy Fest, and he posted this later on Instagram. He announced with Matt Austin that they're going to start a SPD 20th anniversary podcast talking about the making of the season. They'll have episode commentary from the cast, members of the crew, some of the stories that have been told a million times over at cons, but there have also been topics that that they really haven't talked about publicly before. So they're going to be airing this all out at some point. Hasn't happened yet. The announcement just came down a few weeks ago, but I'm really looking forward to hearing some of the stories out of that.
Well, what I'm also seeing off this, too, is that they're going to watch each episode and do a podcast episode to go along with it, almost like a director's commentary, which I think is like pretty, which will be pretty, pretty fun to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I agree with that, because I think isn't it a lot of the actors themselves, and correct me if I'm wrong, they go in and usually just act, and they don't really go back and watch the episodes. So this could even be their first kind of viewings of the episodes themselves in their entirety.
We're just, you know, revisiting them, you know, 20 some years later. Greg has been pretty candid with some of the things he's posted on Instagram about what worked, what didn't, and what he wanted to do with certain aspects of SPD. Like the other day, he was pretty blunt posting concept art and saying, like, here's something from my least favorite episode. And people pretty quickly figured out that it was the memory eraser device from the end of the episode Wormhole, which was really controversial when it aired for quite a few different reasons.
Wormhole was the one that JDF was not a part of, correct? Or was that the one where it was just the three of them?
He wasn't a part. No. Wormhole was
which
the
episode
one that
am I
takes
thinking?
Place. Now, there were two team ups. There was Wormhole and Reunion. Wormhole is the one that takes place in 2005 at a 1 year reunion.
So yeah,
that's right. Okay,
they
yeah.
couldn't get, and they didn't have the money for JDF. So Jeffrey Perazzo. It was a mix of Jeffrey Perazzo and old clips.
I didn't know it was that controversial. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Am I thinking of the right episode of the other one? But the other one,
Reunion was the one where they went back in time to Dino Thunder's time, right?
No, that was Wormhole. Wormhole was the one where they went back in time. And then the other one was where Broodwing plucked the Core 3 out of time into the future.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a podcast going to be available sometime in the near future. Also, speaking of behind the scenes stories Doug Sloan's Kickstarter was successful. It was funded on June 27th. He's pledged to make a follow-up book. This first book will go up to his original departure during Power Rangers Turbo. He's promising all kinds of stories. Book one is titled Morphers, Monsters, and Mayhem, My Travels Through the Power Rangers Galaxy. Book two is titled Disney Dinosaurs, Dr. Oliver, My Return to the Power Rangers Galaxy. That will be coming in 2026. It was funded to the tune of $9,004.
I'm very happy that it was funded. Fun fact, I actually picked up More Phenomenal this week. So I'll have some good reading. But that aside, I'm glad that this was funded because I've been attending cons lately again. Not that I stopped, but I'm looking at more of the guest list, and they're definitely bringing out some of the actual, not just actors, actresses, or the big names like the creators, but they're actually bringing out some of the like on-set people now to talk about stuff. So I was thinking of Larry Houston for like X-Men and X-Men 97, and he brought his book previously on X-Men, The Art of X-Men and X-Men 97. This is great because maybe they'll start inviting Doug to other cons beside like Power Ranger ones to talk about like the on-set stuff, to talk about like the stories and everything. All I hope is that it's not how he pitched it though. Like, are you ready to hear the controversial stories? I hope it's here's fun stories about the stuff and his time on it. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, he's hinted at that there is some dirt that he hasn't talked about before, like being told by I'm Saban why his office didn't say Social Security on the outside, or being cornered in a broom closet by an armed former counterterrorism agent as German Shepherd. But he's also said it's going to be self-effacing, etc. That isn't a takedown or a hit piece. I did pledge, so we'll see what happens. But I have been reading More Phenomenal, now that you mentioned it, not just because I mentioned in it, but there are some really interesting stories that that I definitely hadn't heard before, or you know, hadn't been told properly in the fandom. And so I highly recommend grabbing that book if you can.
Yep, I have it, and it's on my shelf. Right now, I'm reading through previously on X-Men and finishing that up, and once I get through that, that's going to be my next book, because I usually try to read like a chapter or two before I go to bed every night to kind of decompress. And I'm looking forward to that one. More Phenomenal seems like it was a really well put together book, and it was difficult to get, apparently, in the beginning.
Really?
Yeah, well, I put in a special order through my local indie bookstore, and it took them a month to actually get it in.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a lot of printing. Like, it was a short print, Greg. I don't know if they planned for it being as popular, so they had to do, I think it was like, it's still considered a first run, but they put in like another order, essentially. Or however it is. It's not like a second printing or anything.
However they do books.
Yeah.
How do they do books? And in other news, Legend of the White Dragon is still allegedly happening. There have been some updates from production in the past few weeks. They locked audio in late June, and this month in July, they announced that the film is finished. They're setting up meetings with distributors. They've shown the film internally to the Bad in the Sun team. They absolutely love it. They say in a tweet on July 11th, "We are beyond grateful, and we appreciate your support and patience." But they were hit by some sad news this week with the death of Michael Madsen, who co-stars in the film. He plays a character named Max Reed. Of course, we lost Jason David Frank a couple of years ago. The film also stars Bad in the Sun proprietor Aaron Jenke, Jason Font, Mark Dacascos, Jenna Frank, Ciara Hanna, and Serena Vincent. So it's going to come out. Their website still says 2024. I think they're not going to make that. But I've been wrong before.
I don't know. There's still time.
It's July 2025, so I think they still got time.
Yeah, got time.
Now, remind me, for Legend of the White Dragon, is it going to be in theaters, or is it just going to go straight to a streaming platform?
They say it's going to be theaters. Us who are realistic are like, it's probably going to be streaming, my dudes.
I mean, you can swing a one-day screening for anything. That's why, Fathom exists. Fathom Events exists to put all kinds of slop on movie screens for an evening.
I get that, man, but that also is like so limited run stuff. So like Demon Slayer or Dragon Ball, there's a difference.
I think if it were closer to his death, then I think, it would be an easier sell. But, we'll see. They're definitely committed to having it out eventually. But what does that entail?
I think the big question is going to be is, how long is it going to be? I'm thinking like 30 minutes.
I don't know. It seemed like they were committed to making a movie. It seemed like he was committed to making a movie.
Okay, let's make a small bet here. I bet it's going to be at least an hour and a half.
We can make a burrito bet. I'll do that.
Like they use the word feature film, so.
Okay.
Take them at their word until it comes out and it's 15 minutes long.
I'll max out and say I'll bet $10, enough to get like a small lunch. I'll add that in. I think if I'm being realistic, 40 minutes. I think with whatever, no ads, no previews, it's going to be a 40-minute little fan.
Well, I think they finished principal photography before he died, so that's why I think it's going to be a movie, even if it's a very low budget movie. But Mark Dacascos isn't, and Michael Madsen wasn't any stranger to those sorts of movies.
I think it will just depend on what it's registered as, and then we'll find out its length.
I don't think you can call it a feature film at 40 minutes.
Right, exactly. Well, you can call it whatever you want, though.
I mean, 40 minutes is just a glorified episode of Power Rangers.
Well, once and always was colloquially called a movie when legally speaking it could not be.
Yeah, and remember, like Clash of the Red Ranger and stuff was only like 44 minutes long with commercials.
Or Dark Wish, we've seen this stuff before, these shenanigans before. It doesn't have to be, Lord of the Rings length.
I have two answers for you. The most common for the organizations like the Academy of Motion Pictures and Scientists.
This is not an Oscar-winning film.
No. I know. But for a, like, air quotes, feature film, it's 40 minutes. Screen Actors Guild says 80. So, take a pick.
Whatever.
40 minutes, I think.
So, recently there was a second auction held by Heritage Auctions for all the stuff that they still had hanging around to sell. It wasn't a live auction, so it felt a lot less dramatic because all the bidding was done electronically. There were no live bidders, no room, and only the robot saying fair warning. So I wasn't following it like as closely. I think a lot of other people weren't following it as closely as other as the earlier auctions. But there were still some big ticket sales. A set of 5 Lost Galaxy costumes went for $25,000. These are all before buyer's premium, what have you. A set of 6 jackets from Lightspeed, civilian jackets, went for $20,000. A group of White Ranger stuff from the movie, like touring costumes, what have you, went for $18,750. Yeah, there was like, you know, mostly like team stuff that went for the five figures. A Titanium Ranger costume went for 15 grand. It looked like at a glance to be the one with the jank helmet from Legendary Battle. I'm not sure. The civilian costumes for Power Rangers in Space went for $13,750. As far as the bargain basement, that included items like a group of 10 Cyclobot costumes for $875, 20 pink Mystic Force Ranger Tauren costumes for $843, a group of 10 Mooger costumes of Samurai for $812. Really, some, you know, good deals, I guess. A group of ancient Animaria warrior cuirasses from Wild Force for $937.
AKA the Quantron's chest plates.
Yeah, they were repainted Quantron chest plates. And, you know, lots of Power Rangers stuff is repainted, whatever.
That's true.
So it wasn't really, I mean, there were some people who ended up with things of note. The guy who wrote the Power Rangers Unlimited Phantom Ranger story, he got the Phantom Ranger suit. Good for him.
Yeah. Oh, Matt Frank.
No. He drew, that was the artist. The guy who wrote it.
Yes. His name is escaping me, but yes.
Yeah, his name is escaping me too, but I know I saw him tweet about it.
Yeah, he adores Phantom Ranger, so I'm not surprised that, like, yeah, I'm buying this.
Yeah, Morph Museum got their hands on a few things. Sentai 5, I'm not sure if you know him. He got a couple Spirit Rangers, he got Titanium, which, no, maybe it's not the Jenkins one, I don't know. He got Mega V1, the Jackets, the Beast Morphers Red Power Up. He got all three Spirit Rangers, dang. But it's good to know that these things are ending up in some good hands. I wish I had that kind of money.
Yep.
Yeah, I do too. Some of this stuff is worth more than my car.
Yeah.
You know, I think the wild part of it still is the total amount that was actually sold for. I think good some of the ticket million items were great. Yeah, less than you think, though. I would have assumed like at least 10, and it was way less when you combine both of them together.
And the infamous Bitter 102 was also back at it. He won a set of costume patterns. I forget what all of them are for, but he definitely did win those, and he won one of the SPD Ranger lots, one of the civilian costume lots, including Bertie Fowler's costume and Cat Mengs' costumes. So Pete, in the earlier auction, he got all kinds of Doggy Kruger stuff. He said in a tweet, the patterns were and have been my number one big ticket item since the auction started. While it's particular news that I've won that lot and I'm taking those home, it is my intention to get assistance in cataloging and digitizing every single one. Why? For fans and cosplayers alike. I do not know exactly how yet, but it's my intention to offer either digital or printed copies of these patterns for all to use and enjoy. Now pardon me while I go pound a glass of water and calm my nerves. I still don't know who he is.
I tell you what, if I had spent that much money on Power Rangers, like, memorabilia, I'd probably have to be a little bit, I probably would have had to be drinking. I mean, if you're going to go pound a cold glass of water after spending all that kinds of money, you got nerves of steel.
Yeah, there would be only certain things even I would want from it, for sure. It would be like, the Wrath Staff. That would be something I would always want, or the Z Staff, for sure.
So, Josh, what's going up in the world of Heroes of the Grid?
Nothing too much right now. We keep getting previews of and looks at of like the art and everything, but right now it's based on what they're saying, everything is still on track for the Kickstarter to be sent out late this year. I know with the tariffs and I know with like everything uncertain with the miniatures, as the cost going to rise, is the Kickstarter, like, if you committed to it, are you going to have to pay more? I think that some of that's still in the air, but I think everything's still looking good and everything like that. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it when it arrives in late November. I think we're all also just waiting for the next Renegade Con, because right now, they and their SummerCon that just happened like a month back, there was no deck building and there was no RPG. So the only real thing we got was Transformers 1 sourcebook. So I don't know what's going on that end. We're hoping we're getting more, I think, in October for it. I know there's been a lot of requests for Mystic Force and what was the other one? Like Jungle Fury, but who knows where they're at the moment for it. Like, they haven't lost the license or anything, but it could be just them taking time. So we'll just have to see.
Speaking of tabletop and a glimpse of what could have been, in June we heard that the Magic the Gathering movie would be written by the screenwriting pair who wrote an unproduced Power Rangers movie before that whole thing fell apart under Jonathan Entwistle, all that. Noah Gardner and Aidan Fitzgerald were tapped to write the screenplay for Magic the Gathering. According to Deadline, BlackBerry director Matt Johnson was previously in negotiations to helm the film, but it's not clear yet if he closed his deal with Legendary and Hasbro, who are making it. Before the Scuttle Power Rangers movie, Gardner and Fitzgerald, this is according to GameSpot, also worked on The Trench, which is a DC Extended Universe film that was meant to be a spinoff from Aquaman. So neither of those films happened. They are also teaming up for Transfers, a Prime Video original series based on the cult classic sci-fi film of the same name. So Hasbro has indicated that they're making new video games for both Magic and D&D, but it's unknown when those projects are expected to be completed. They're trying to turn D&D into more of a multimedia franchise, most recently with the live-action Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves and the 12-Sided Tavern stage show, which I believe is on Broadway. Well, yeah, I know it's on tour. Good for them. It would have been interesting to know what their Power Rangers script might have been. Instead, it's over there in the dustbin, along with whatever Max Landis thought up for this 2017 film. And in other news, there is going to be a a comic about Haim Saban. Yeah, it comes out in paperback in August. It's not a series, thankfully, but it's titled Fame, Haim Saban, the visionary behind Power Rangers. It is written by Darren G. Davis, and the solicitation reads as thus, says the book chronicles the extraordinary life of Haim Saban from his early years in Egypt and Israel to his rise as a global entertainment mogul. The 22-page comic book explores his journey from a struggling music producer to revolutionizing children's television with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Witness his business acumen, bold risks, and the empire he built through Saban Entertainment. Through challenges, triumphs, and groundbreaking deals, this biography captured the legacy of a man who forever changed pop culture, proving that one visionary idea can transform the entertainment industry. Yeah.
I am thankful I'm Saban brought out Power Rangers and turned Zoo Ranger, I can never pronounce it properly, into Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I appreciate it, but having said that, quote unquote business acumen, underpaying his actors and whatnot, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know, like, the provenance, like, how a book like this comes into being.
A comic book? I mean, I can understand like a
Yeah.
biography.
Yeah, or memoir or something like that. And really random, like, this is the guy who's writing it. He's written, actually, come to think of it, he has written similar comics like this. So it's not totally out of pocket. He's written similar comics about, like, Hugh Jackman, Nicolas Cage, Bruce Willis, but Haim Saban, it's like, which one of these is not like the others? Which one of these just doesn't belong?
Most controversial out of that list.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, I'll.
I haven't gone through his whole bibliography, but yeah, apparently this is what this writer does.
I mean, I had the same reaction y'all did of like, I think everybody and their family is very aware of like the controversy surrounding Saban, whether it's
No, they
how
aren't.
cheap. Well, I
Others
think
don't know
there's
Jack.
more. That's valid. I think for people in the know or in the industry do realize whether it's how cheap Saban was with Power Ranger actors or like how he wanted X-Men to be made really cheap for it. It's not a secret. But then again, I'm like, if he wanted this to be his method or his mode of publication, the more I thought about it, I'm like, if he wants this over a biography or whatever, hey, that's his choice for it. It's weird because it's not like Stan Lee or Jack Kirby or something, but hey, more power to him if this is the medium he wants. I just hope it's just not a glorified look at me type of publication, but
Well,
I
it's
mean
only
that's not much.
22 pages. How much are you going to get done in 22 pages?
Not a lot. I think it's going to be very surface level. I was born here. Oh, I had this idea for Power Rangers. It failed. Someone took a risk, and lo and behold, that's what happened. Hey, that's 5 pages right there.
I sold it to Disney. Then I bought it back. Well,
That's
I
seven.
think, like, there's the story of how he got from Alexandria, Egypt to Power Rangers is pretty interesting. And I think that that is worth telling. And it would maybe be compelling to a younger audience if told a certain way. Like the fact that he wasn't good at playing bass, but he was good at the hustle. And that was basically how, like, his origin story. You just have to admit, like, his bankruptcy, all that, and you're off to the races.
I mean, there's something to be said that he was very good at what he did, but stuff that has come to light has not left him in the greatest light to people in the know.
Right, but this isn't that book.
No. This is going to be like.
Yeah. We're overthinking. This is for kids.
Yeah. You know what? You got a
Well,
point.
I think if it's going to be exactly like how we, I mean, there's the Stan Lee stuff, like with the fights with him and Jack Kirby. It's not going to be that. Just going to be, it
Yeah.
is
I
what it is.
mean, like, there's an acceptable level of hagiography in a book like this.
It's going to be what?
Like, there's an acceptable level of positive portraiture,
Okay.
hagiography.
That's a new word.
Yeah.
You'll
That's
hear
a
it a
new word
lot
for
when
me too.
somebody dies.
Well, now I know.
When people tried to, Ronald Reagan, for example, people yada yada over everything he did. That sort of.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Gotcha.
So, skipping to Toku news,
Ooh.
Kamen Rider Zetsu, spelled ZETZ for our purposes, will be airing internationally. Not airing, you know what I mean. It will be available streaming somehow in the US, Canada, Hong Kong, South Korea, Middle East, and other areas where Kamen Rider isn't normally available like this. Not legally, anyway. There have been some teasers put out. They're kind of controversial. People think there's AI art involved. Another thing that's different is the belt, instead of being worn, you know, like a belt, it's worn across the chest. The only information so far about the plot is that it involves Zetsu carrying out missions inside of people's dreams. The character will have a cameo appearance in the upcoming Kamen Rider Gav movie, which is supposed to be out at the end of this month. And a 30-second teaser was made available on the Toei Tokusatsu World official channel. More information is set to be available soon. We don't really know, you know, the manner in which it'll be distributed, whether it'll be on Toei's YouTube channel or on Crunchyroll or some other method. But I think that's really interesting, the fact that they're, you know, really going for it. Toei has said recently, a Toei executive told The Hollywood Reporter, if I recall correctly, that they were working on a superhero aimed at an international audience. It didn't, so I'm not sure if this is that hero or if there's some other project, some new franchise that they're also working on, and we just haven't heard about it yet.
I was about to ask, have we heard anything about another project? But I have a feeling this will be it. They're going to probably test the waters with Zetsu and see where they can go. But I'm personally excited to see that. I like the raw, you know, tokusatsu series, especially Kamen Rider and Super Sentai. As I've gotten older, I've started to appreciate them more than the Power Rangers in and of themselves. Yes, they're separate, but they are also, you know, they're forever linked. You're never going to talk about Power Rangers in any legitimate way without talking about Super Sentai. But at the same time, like, I'm really excited that Kamen Rider can get an actual following in North America, because I have shown, I go in and out of homes as a matter of my job. I've shown clips of different Kamen Riders, and like, I've got a bunch of older people that are like, actually, that's kind of cool. Like, older people our age that remember growing up with Power Rangers and kind of fell out of it. So if they can make a good Kamen Rider series, I'm pretty sure it can take off in the West. Especially with all the with the Marvel stuff kind of losing a lot of its luster.
I mean, it just needs the right kind of support. Like, you know, there are so many cautionary tales, namely Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, of what happens when a show isn't given Toei support, isn't given promotional support, and doesn't really have the backing of a major studio.
Now, that is true. Now, are we going to get the support for Zetsu, or are they just going to throw it out there and hope it sticks?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's no mention of any, again, Crunchyroll type distribution involved. I mean, Toei has worked with Amazon in the past, with Kamen Rider Amazons, et cetera, et cetera. But you want to be able to get in front of the people who you know are going to watch it. So, would Amazon be the right place? Would YouTube be the right place? And, you know, what, like, you want to get in front of people who aren't necessarily intentionally looking for it, but ought to see it.
Right.
But shows like this are always such a tough sell.
I don't think YouTube is the right place for a new Kamen Rider usually runs 30 minutes. 30-minute TV show. I don't think YouTube's a good place for that. I can see Amazon, maybe, because people that know about this series are going to find it there. And then if you're into other superhero things and you watch that on Amazon, this may fall into your lap. I'm thinking that might be the better option. Then again, I'm no marketing strategist.
You just play one on TV.
Not even that. I guess. I don't know.
So we heard something out of G-Fest. Ultraman 4K will be getting a... excuse me. So G-Fest happened recently. There was a bit of an announcement there. Not simply about Godzilla, but about Ultraman. The old Ultra series are getting released again, but in 4K by Mill Creek Entertainment. Dodgy subs at all. Ultra 7 will be out in September of 2026. Ultraman Arc and the related movie, The Clash of Light and Evil, will be out in October this year. Ultraman 4K Discovery will be out from Mill Creek in November of this year, featuring footage from the 4K transfer of Ultraman that will include the glitch dub, Ultraman Towards the Future in March 2026, and Ultraman The Ultimate Hero TVA. So the 4K restoration of the original series will include the complete United Artists Television English dub. And that'll be out on July 10th, 2026 for the 60th anniversary. So Ultra Q hasn't been announced just yet, but the hope is that's going to be announced at some point soon. I did actually own the means glorified bootleg, the BCI Eclipse DVD of Ultraman, so I've been exposed to some of the dub, but because this was before Tsuburaya had was able to win in court against Shio, it was basically a bootleg. So it'll be good to have access to that in higher quality.
Bootlegs were never of the greatest qualities, but this is actually kind of cool. I wasn't big into Ultraman as a kid or even now, but I can appreciate that. You know, the fans, the Facebook comments from the fans are just like, it's a small but rabid fan base out here.
Mm-hmm. But Ultraman fans are eating well. There's going to be an Ultraman live stage show in America this fall. It's going to be coming to the American Dream Mall in New Jersey from November 15th to November 23rd. They'll have kaiju battles, and special appearance by Christopher Sean, who voices Ken Sato and Ultraman in the Netflix show Ultraman Rising. So that's going to be really cool. It's also being dubbed Ultraman Hero Premiere 2025. In the show, Earth is under attack by some of the franchise's most menacing kaiju. According to Nerdist, Ultraman Omega and his comrades must rely on their acrobatic skills, martial arts, amazing weapons, and signature power beams to save the planet. In a statement, Bandai's Jeff Gordon, not to be confused with the NASCAR driver, said, quote, Bandai is excited to bring the highly skilled and talented live-action performances from Tsuburaya Productions to U.S. audiences and help fans build a deeper connection with its iconic character. We look forward to supercharging fan excitement for Ultraman and bringing Bandai's world-class products that will extend the play for fans beyond this event. The show will star Ultraman Omega, who is the latest hero in the Ultraman Omega series. This is coming out ahead of Ultraman Omega's English dub streaming debut, which is November. There's no clear word on whether this is going to lead to other performances outside of Jersey or go on tour or it'll be broadcast or whatever. But hopefully if you're in the area, you can get out there and see the show.
Yeah, I live outside Pittsburgh. But this is perfect timing. I go back home to New Jersey for Thanksgiving every year. This is a sign to go see the damn thing. Yeah.
It's weird timing for me because, like, I'm going to Japan in late November.
Right.
But, so I might not be able to swim up to Jersey. This is actually going to be, the American Dream Mall is in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So, like, by the Meadowlands, all that.
It's in the city place where the Jets and Giants play.
Yeah. If you go to the website UltramanLiveShow.com, there's not really much there. Just the date, the address, and a box to sign up for email updates. But, you know, go there, sign up, and maybe you'll hear other updates about if they're going somewhere else.
Definitely going to take my kid to this. I think she'll love it. And I think I literally just said I'm not a big fan of Ultraman, but how many opportunities do we have to see something like this in America?
Exactly. You know, show your support. Also, you may remember the, it seems to be a weird time for anime based on tokusatsu. There's that, Isekai Red Ranger series. There's the Kamen Rider Futo PI. And now there's going to be an anime. This is from Crunchyroll News, based on the tokusatsu themed seinen manga Tojima Wants to Be a Kamen Rider. The series begins broadcast in Japan on Tokyo MX and other stations in October. So it's based on original characters created by Ishimori and Pro and Toy. The manga was written by Yokosaru Shibata. It's published by Hero Inc. in their Komiplex Digital Manga Magazine. The anime adaptation is directed by Takehiro Ikezoe. The series composition by Toko Machida and character designs by Cindy H. Yamauchi with music by Teddy Lloyd. The story follows Tansaburo Tojima, the 40-year-old man who was abnormally obsessed with the Kamen Rider franchise. I mean, come on, get the life. Tojima is about to give up on his dream of becoming a hero until a chance encounter with a robber changes his fate forever. The voice cast of the series includes Ai Kayano, Kenichi Suzumura, Soma Saito, and Fairuz Ai. So, they're not saying whether Crunchyroll itself will air this, but I don't see why they wouldn't. It seems right up their alley, and how many other places are there to watch anime these days?
Well, if Sentai was getting popular in the anime realm, why not try Kamen Rider? That's the next logical step, in my opinion.
And speaking of Kamen Rider, we do have some sad news this year. It's not like news that just happened, but fans only recently found out about it. According to Tejan Roberts' father on Facebook, the actor best known to us is playing Dex in Masked Rider and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 3-parter, A Friend in Need. He apparently died in June of 2022. He was very reclusive, so that's why we are only finding about it, 3 years later. He was last seen on screen in the acclaimed biopic Milk. It's been 3 years. He was in a bunch of stuff in the 90s, but then kind of left acting for whatever reason, as actors do.
It's still sad regardless. Like, yeah. Him and his family must have been just very private. And, it's sad that this is how we had to find out with it several years later. But I guess better late than never, of course, so we can all pay tribute, of course. But it's still sad.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the latest news about the potential next season of Power Rangers.
Looking for something fun to do on Labor Day weekend? Then come to MiryokuCon at the Lord Baltimore Hotel in Baltimore, Maryland from August 29th through 31st. Come meet voice actors Crystal Laporte and Amanda C. Miller. Plus, there will be cosplay, panels, vendors, and so much more. Head over to MiryokuCon.org to purchase your badges and book your hotel rooms today.
And we are back. Now, last episode... we talked about the news that the showrunners of the Percy Jackson series on Disney Plus were in talks to get set up running the new Power Rangers series at 20th Television in a co-production with Hasbro. There is some news to report. Those have proceeded from just talks to actual plans for filming. According to the trade publication Production Weekly, the new series Power Rangers, it's just Power Rangers for now, for Disney Plus, is set to start filming in the UK in January of 2026 with showrunners Jonathan E. Steinberg and Dan Schatz. The logline is, it features five teenagers who gain the ability to morph into superheroes known as the Power Rangers, complete with their own mech fighters. I'm sure they'll perfect that a little bit as we, as they develop, going from mech fighters to Zords. I really hope it's not mech fighters, but whatever. They're set up within the LLC Quaker Moving Pictures. I presume that, it is an actual company that has produced films. My mistake. They've produced the films War Game and... Wait, let me rewind a bit. So the show is set up at Quaker Moving Pictures, a studio associated with both Schatz and Shine... One more time. The show is set up at Quaker Moving Pictures, which is associated with both Steinberg and Schatz. So it's not like an, bespoke LOC or something like that. But I'm really excited to see that there is some kind of movement. We thought, I thought that we would have to wait much, much longer than this to actually see that something's going to happen.
I mean, to be fair, that's also means like if this is just being out there, this is still probably easily 2027, maybe very, 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 very early 2028.
Well, we don't know the series order yet.
Right. What I mean, though, is with marketing, if you want to get toys and merch and everything, to me, late 2027, early 2028's. In a sense of, well, we're still waiting a little bit.
And we don't know really, are they working from scratch, if you know what I mean? Or are they, Sentai has behaved in a way that is very difficult to adapt in the last few years. So unless they're doing, Akira Major adaptation, I really don't know what they would possibly do with Sentai footage.
Oh, they can easily take Boom Boomger and adapt it for American audiences. It's Cars. What do we have a lot of over here? Cars.
Right, possibly.
Strange. But it's strange, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, if they're willing to spend money, they can do what Hasbro did with Beast Morphers and just rebuild stuff as they need to. I think the London of it is going to be interesting. I think we were joking about it off air and in our Discord server about how all the accent slips will be different. The Ranger will be referring to each other as Governor.
They're just going to do a complete reboot of the Mystic Knights of Tirnanog.
That would be beautiful. I at least have faith for who is leading it, because Jonathan, I mean, a lot, I have not seen a lot of Jonathan's works, but I do know that Percy Jackson, the Disney Plus series, was very well received. And I don't know a whole lot about Dan, except that he directed, that he produced and wrote my favorite movie of all time, National Treasure. So I have faith that at least we got people who know what they're doing. And at least I think of it like Kevin at Marvel, where at least you're getting people who may actually know what the franchise is.
Yeah.
At its and these are the direction they want to go.
These people with proven record of success. Like Percy Jackson is a great show that people love.
Exactly. Exactly. And National Treasure is a cult fan favorite, a cult favorite, whatever, however the term you define it is. People like it.
And you know they're not going to go off and make a Karate Kid movie, though apparently the show was already dead by the time Jonathan Entwistle did that.
I'll one-up that. They'll make something they're not ashamed of.
Yeah, I think exactly. Because, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, whether people like the 2017 film or not, or however people's opinions on some of the series, I think they, based on what we have with Percy Jackson and National Treasure, they're going to have fun with it. And I do think that I'm not going to say it will modernize Power Rangers, but it may bring a breath of fresh air. Like, finally, we get something that we've been asking for. It may not be perfect,
On second thought, people who make the show are seldom ashamed of having worked on it. But the people who have owned the show are frequently seem like they're ashamed to own it.
I'll add to that. And I'm going to just name shows for it. There are people like Jonathan and Dan who make their content, such as Percy and a National Treasure. You can tell they enjoyed making the films. You can tell they had fun. Yes, some of it's not deep, but it's fun. Versus, say, what's his name, who directed Power Rangers, where he didn't really understand it, or the guy who made Halo, where it wasn't Halo, he just wanted to sell his story idea and knew it was going to fail, so he put the Halo IP to it. This doesn't seem like those cases. This seems like the question will be, is are they going to set it in the future? Is this a reboot? How is this going to work for it? My guess is they are going to make it its own thing, because it's not like Marvel, where a lot of the people didn't understand, the casuals just did not understand who Tony Stark was. So you don't need to introduce someone like that, versus now where nobody really wants JDF replaced. No one wants Austin.
I think that if you know,
I'll put it this way.
If you want to start from scratch, I think you need to start from scratch.
I'll put it this way. Nobody wants Hugh Jackman replaced as Wolverine unless it's the Calverine. I don't think
Calverine isn't happening. That's the whole point. Because I think you can't be afraid of starting over and creating a new, I mean, it seems like an oxymoron, but I think
it can't be afraid to
start over by making a new Mighty Morphin, essentially, and that means a new Tommy. And Jonathan was, according to the stuff that he was saying, he was ready to have a new Tommy.
Wait, do you hear that? Do you hear that? You hear the groaning of the people who say, not Mighty Morphin again. Yes, it's going to be
it's
Mighty
not
Morphin.
For the,
accept it.
The show that is being made right now is not for us.
No, our time has come and gone.
I think you need to hold on. Mighty Morphin
don't know what this show is going to be. It's Disney.
And I'm arguing that they should be doing Mighty Morphin.
Right. But we also don't know, is this going to be more directed towards kids or maybe even early teens? Or is this going to be more directed at adults? Well, like
Ironheart is directed at adults would flop hard.
I don't.
They tried that in 2017.
If they were going to make a Power Rangers series for adults, they wouldn't have hired the people best known for a kids show.
I disagree with that, but or I'll put it this way: is it going to be made for families? That's a better way to put it. Is this going to be something to bring both the? You can't isolate the old fans, but you also can't just direct it solely to kids. That's why I use the Marvel example. Are you going
to
have something?
It's Power Rangers. You have to direct it to kids.
No, you don't. That's the same argument that was.
I think aside from Once and Always, which was a special case, every Power Rangers series have been rightly directed at kids.
But that's.
I will say.
That's the wrong way of thinking on that, though.
I'd like to hear more about that. Why is that the wrong way to think?
Because every showrunner you speak to outside, unless they were constrained and said this is solely going to be that, they don't like writing it that way. They will outright tell you, such as I was at the panel with Larry Houston for X-Men. They outright said, if Fox Kid, we wrote the show as a mature show for both families and kids to get. Now, some of the content was for kids because that's what Fox Kids directed them to do. But they said, we didn't write this and dumb this down. Justice League did not do that. Teen Titans did not do that. I don't think they're going to be doing that. I think it's going to be more of a 10 to 18 year old type of, it's going to be fun. It's going to be introduce maybe a little more themes for it. If it doesn't, it's just going to flop.
I mean, there have been series that have had mature themes, but you can't tell me at the end of the day that Time Force and RPM still weren't capital F, capital K for kids.
RPM, I think if you're saying otherwise,
you're fooling yourself.
Man, those are difficult because Time Force got away with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. RPM basically was, this is the final series. We're getting away with a lot of stuff because nobody's watching it. And I apologize, Greg, I interrupted you.
No, I will say with RPM, I think it skewed older kids. So like Power Rangers in general, aim from 8 to 12, give or take, on a normal basis. I think RPM skewed more like 12 to 16 to 18. It was a lot darker than any other Power Rangers was. I mean, it was the end of the world. They showed the world as dusted over, destroyed. I like to say it was Terminator for kids.
But it was still the destruction was still an abstraction.
That's still difficult.
But you
there's
can't
stuff
you're not,
that
you're
can get away with it.
You can't. That's, you. Power Rangers can't be Sentai where they're actually showing people get shot in the 70s. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, it's like, you know, aside from a couple lines here and there, nobody ever in the show talks about all the people who are in those buildings.
But it's implied. And at the same time, kids aren't stupid. Kids know people are in those buildings.
Very spicy take. So bear with me.
It's a very spicy discussion.
Well, true. Spicy take, though. You can go that direction with Power Rangers. You know why? Because X-Men 97 just went in that direction when... Okay, if nobody's seen X-Men 97, tell me now, because otherwise, big spoiler.
I haven't.
Go ahead, you can spoil it for me.
I haven't. I might watch it, so don't spoil it.
Regardless, there is a very mature thing that changes the narrative from they basically started with the camp and then made it its own. Power Rangers can do that as well. If X-Men 97 can do that and just say, hey guys, this is a little more mature show, Power Rangers can do the exact same thing and nobody would bat an eye.
The
they may actually think
for X-Men 97 was always, you know, picking up where that old series left off. And it's not like as they were consciously making something that worked for the people who aren't 5 year olds now, but were 5 year olds then.
Man, that's difficult because they've outright said they made the show to introduce X-Men to the new generation because it's been so disconnected from first class.
Well, that doesn't mean that X-Men 97 is going after the exact same cohort that a new Power Rangers series would. And I really think we're really missing the point because, you know, I mean, really, if you're looking, I think, you know, the fact that they hired the Percy Jackson guys makes me believe they're going for a similar demo as Percy Jackson.
I'll also throw this out there when it comes to the implied destruction in Power Rangers. That's not for the kids. That's for the parents. The parents don't want to watch their kids watching a show where a giant robot stomps out an, quote-unquote, abandoned warehouse. We know there's people and things in those warehouses. We're the same generation that launched people out of the shuttle loop in Roller Coaster Tycoon. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Mr. Bones is wild ride. And something to keep in mind, too, and Greg and Arsef, you both brought it up. Something to keep in mind as well with Time Force and stuff. That was a little weird period because that was prior to 9/11, and a lot of that in Lightspeed and Time Force would have not flown after that. And we see that with how much was watered down, kind of it, with Wild Force. I think the show writers even said, yeah, they had to tone back a lot of some of the more-ish mature themes, but it's been so long since I've actually looked at those notes. I'm probably misquoting it. But you have to remember, a lot of that with In Space, Time Force, RPM got a lot away with a lot because people weren't watching it. So there was a little bit of difference, but I did want to throw that in. Streaming
like standards and practices offices that the broadcasters were getting in trouble. Like SPD, there were a lot of follow up shots from Decker Ranger that were replaced. Because they involved like blows to the head or other no go zones or certain grapples were replaced.
Which is what you can do now on streaming, because a lot of that stuff that wouldn't fly now flies on streaming because they're not constrained by television rules. Now we can talk about reputation, stuff like that. That's a side argument for another day for that. But you get my gist. Like, they have a little more freedom when it's a streaming show. I'm not necessarily saying like, oh, they're going to go like dark. That's not the direction I'm saying. I think it's going to be even a children's based show, I think you're going to get more Sentai out of it than you are going to be more Power Rangers. And I think it's going to be the best of both worlds because you're still going to get the camp from Power Rangers minus the fart jokes. We don't need those.
Yeah, the fart jokes, what was it really? They were really bad in like the late seasons.
Yeah.
All on the executives, according to the more phenomenal book.
I mean, I know us boys never really grow up, and even I was like tired of all the fart jokes. I was like, okay, it was funny the first 13 times. Can we move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the forced comedy wasn't. It was not good. They tried to relive that magic from MMPR, but it worked because it was Bulk and Skull, not because it was the jokes, and because the writing was actually pretty witty at the time. So. Yeah, in my opinion, I think they're going to be, at least age-wise and theme-wise, it's going to be like Sentai, maybe even Kamen Rider. It's a streaming show. They have loosey-goosey rules, and Disney has shown they will embrace that. Look at WandaVision. Look at Ironheart. Look at the Disney stuff. They want the kids to watch the Marvel stuff, so they buy the toys. I could see that. I mean, they wouldn't have they wouldn't have greenlit X-Men 97 if, and with all of its themes and stuff, if they didn't think both kids and adults were going to watch it. That's at least how
The thing is that Disney has ancillary ways of making money off these shows, whereas in the case of Power Rangers, they don't anymore.
They're going to sell toys. They'll make the toys.
But Disney isn't going to be sharing necessarily in the proceeds of the toys. That's going to be Playmates and Hasbro.
At the same time, they're going to look to separate themselves from the other streaming services. Right now, I just checked a couple hours ago. Netflix still has some Power Rangers stuff up.
Right.
I think if
but they're Disney not marketing comes out, it, they don't care.
That my point being, they're old shows. It's Super Ninja Steel, Once and Always, and the original Mighty Morphin, and the remake of Mighty Morphin, which had the Batman pow, kapow stuff in it. I think Disney's going to advertise that we have the new Power Rangers, and I think
they're not going to advertise it. They barely advertised the fact they had Doctor Who. And look how that all turned out.
Man, I would say that's a different audience, though, for it, because
but it's a similar arrangement, isn't it?
No, I would say Doctor... Feel free to call me wrong. I would say Doctor Who is more obscure for American audiences versus Power Rangers. But that's me, because
I disagree.
And the reason why, though, I say that, there's no merch with Doctor Who.
Not lately, but that's another story.
Did Disney,
but if Disney, you go to Hot Topic, there was a time where you could walk in and see a wall of Doctor Who stuff. That was never the case with Power Rangers.
Did Disney invest in Doctor Who to bring it over here? Not just buy it, but they try to produce it.
They kicked some money that was mostly eaten up by converting it to like 8K or something like that.
So isn't Disney Plus actually like producing this season, the new, we'll call it Power Rangers 2028?
20th Television is producing it, yeah.
So Disney's actually investing in it.
I mean, they were investing in Doctor Who as well.
Not nearly to the extent they are for
I mean, I guess 20 Television is more producing it than Hasbro is.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm excited for the fact that there's something coming down the pipeline. But whether or not
on our bingo cards, how it's going to be.
we know barely anything about it.
We know it's happening as of right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And even then, we're still seeing like, well, this publication's kind of an internal thing. Like, we wouldn't be knowing about this unless it's leaked. And is Disney happy about that? Are they not? I don't know. That's another story for another time, of course. Because, I mean, look at Nintendo. When the original Legend of Zelda series got leaked, they canceled it. They outright said, nope, we're moving on. And oops, this is why we don't leak stuff, guys. I don't know. We'll definitely have to see on it. What I guess mine is, as this plays out, who is their audience, what they're trying to do. I think that's what it's going to boil down to. And then from there, it's going to be, all right, we can kind of guess what the themes are going to be. And is it going to be a reboot? Is it going to be something original? Because if you're trying to get the adults to sit and watch it too, ultimately they're the ones paying for the subscription. You got to throw some fan service in there. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some old villain show up. I'll put it that way.
Well, how would they?
I think they're going to make a totally clean break. I think, you know, if there's, you know, Lord Zedd, it's going to be their Lord Zedd. If there's a Rita, it's going to be their Rita. Because I think you got to make something that doesn't depend on 30 years of lore. They need to start fresh.
And I agree with you on that.
Yep. I think that's a soft...
Go ahead. Sorry.
My apologies. I do believe a soft reboot was required. There's a lot. And to have a new fan of anywhere from 8 to 10 years old coming in and then seeing there's this whole history, it's like, can get confusing and a little intimidating.
And I think I could easily see them with, if they're teaming up with the Ninja Kids, like already trying to get the name stuff, I could easily see Lord Zedd being, all right, we're rolling with this with season one. He wasn't destroyed. He's brought the other from another universe. Easy enough for it. Hey, I know who Lord Zedd is. It gets the parents to watch. Now, do you want to like expand upon that and get other villains?
The parents are going to have to watch either way.
Yeah. But this makes it more appealing for them. Like, all right, let's see how this Lord Zedd plays out. But that is just my... I
really don't think the parents even get a vote.
Morphin. Well, they do. It's their subscription.
Well, hopefully, you know, whatever they do, hopefully, you know, gets the franchise back on track and, you know, out of the wilderness. You know, wilderness there lasts, you know, a couple of years. We should be so lucky.
Let me ask you this, Arsef, and same thing to you, Greg. What is one thing, with it being completely unknown, okay, it gives a lot of freedom for this answer. What is one thing you would like to see the new series do, or something in a direction like you personally, even if it doesn't turn out that way?
If I was given the chance to magically wish something like that to happen, essentially. Real life outside of being a Power Ranger. As in, I want to see these teenagers with attitude. I want to see them try to balance being a superhero and a regular kid. I'd love them to try to do something like that. Adds a lot of character development.
The consequences of basically real life, like what they're doing to themselves, essentially. Okay.
I want to see them come into school after a battle, beaten up. Not beaten up, but like worn out, tired, exhausted, and just, you know, losing on the, like, what's the word?
You want to see, for example, the consequences of Jason missing out on the state championship football game because he had to save the planet.
I want to see the consequences of him dropping off the football team because he can't do both. He's too exhausted.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I want to see kind of, you know, elements of the Rangers' lives, like Dino Fury, Kazu Fury, you know, and Beast Morphers too, to an extent, included the Rangers' parents. But, you know, I want to get a better sense of, like, you know, like their home lives, and where being a Ranger fits in all of that. Like, you know, especially in the early days, the show would just have the juice bar as device. Essentially, it allowed all the Rangers to gather together. Like, they didn't have so much, you know, with the exception of characters brought in to remind the actors how replaceable they were. They didn't really have many friends or relations outside of whoever was needed to facilitate a given episode.
Okay.
You know, I want to see their parents, or at least one set of parents, kind of piece together that their kid is up to something, but they're not. They can't quite figure it out. I want to see them get grounded for something and try to sneak out to get to the battle.
Or there are people, and Sesame Street's good about this, in all kinds of different living situations. I'm not saying I want a homeless Power Ranger or a Power Ranger experiencing homelessness, but there are all kinds of different sorts of homes and families that Rangers come from. Like Kimberly dealing with her parents' divorce and what have you in season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to see more of that. Like, it doesn't have to be all about it.
Or the blended family in Dino Fury.
So you both really want to see character-driven storylines, essentially. Like, not necessarily this is a show that happens to feature Power Rangers, but they coexist at the same time of their secret identities, essentially.
This is a show about teens who are Power Rangers, but also teens.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be really cool because the first ever Power Rangers we got were Goody Two Shoes. I want to see them tempted to use their powers for personal gain. You know, I want to see that moral quandary. I mean, that might be a little dark, because if a Power Ranger shows up and starts beating the ever-living crap out of a bully, like, that
I don't think we should see that, because I think Zordon's three rules work to establish, they work to differentiate the Rangers from their villains, and they establish the progression of a given episode.
Fair.
So, yeah. All right. Well, whatever it is, hopefully, it obviously doesn't start filming for another 6 months, but whatever it is, hopefully it's good. And we look forward to talking about it here on the show. All right. Did anybody, before we go, anybody have anything to plug?
No, I have not nothing. Really. Just standard stuff. Football season's about to start. So if you want to follow my channel on YouTube, hashtag 405 for college football stuff, mostly OU stuff, but we'll talk a little bit about around college football. Usually we live stream Sundays and Wednesdays. I've been slacking a whole lot, but I've had family health issues I've had to pay attention to first. So football takes an immediate back burner for that. But hopefully getting back into the groove here in August.
Do you watch any pro football?
A tiny bit. I mostly follow the players versus the actual teams. And any chance I get to trash on the Dallas Cowboys, hey, that's a fun time.
Oh, I'm a Texans fan. Please, go on.
A man of culture, I see. Yeah, just it's fun with it, but I mostly follow the players. And fantasy football.
I can't stand fantasy football, but you do you. Well,
that's valid.
All right. Well, anyway, you can find us at rangercast.net, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Adios.
If you like what you just heard, find us at rangercast.net or look us up in your favorite podcast app, and be sure to leave a review. That's the best way to help more people discover the show. You can also find us on X, Facebook, and now Blue Sky. Our opening theme is by Daniel Park. The ending theme is by me. RangerCast is distributed under Creative Commons license, attribute, and share alike.